Next up, it's Bread and Butter, a culinary chronicle with Lael Gilbert.
Here's a question for you. What's your holiday cookie of choice? Is it the deep molasses and fragrant spice of traditional gingerbread? Or the decadent calorie blitz of a simple frosted sugar cookie? Maybe the pastel and light-as-air French macarons? Or a dollop of fruity thickened jam with the crunch of a Linzer cookie? At my house, we do it twice baked. It's a valued tradition from a family that tends to skimp on food traditions generally. Growing up, my hardworking mom cooked mostly out of necessity and preferred frozen lasagna to spending a single extra minute washing pans. But around the holidays, she would stretch her culinary self with this recipe for twice-baked aniseed cookies. It required special ingredients and multiple steps, and chilling the dough. But she did it, and now I do too. The recipe comes from my mom's Aunt Katie, who made it faithfully every December from her breezy California kitchen. We thought these cookies were Norwegian in origin for a while. We don't have Norwegian heritage, but it's a culture we are especially fond of. And Norwegians do love their Christmas cookies. They have a term, sig slag kakir, which I probably slaughtered, but means seven sorts of cookies that are to be prepared and served around the holidays. But the number seven seems to be left to interpretation, as the correct number of cookies and breads many families make might be more around the 20 mark. Christmas is special to Scandinavians, especially in Norway, which was historically the poorest of the Scandinavian countries. For those who weren't upper class, cookies containing butter would have been a big deal. For most of the year, farmers sold their butter and instead used lard in cooking to save on the expense. Except at Christmas time, when they'd splurge and create cookies that reflected the celebration. I haven't found particular mention of anise cookies in Norwegian cookie culture, but recipes for twice-baked cookies are often found in Italian cuisine and called biscotti. For me, the tradition isn't so much about the cookies themselves, rather, the memories and the love wrapped up in all that butter. These crisp and slender treats are designed for dipping in coffee or hot chocolate, but are delicious on their own too. In the recipe, the sweet and subtle flavor of licorice landed by the anise is a great combination with the almond and butter. So here it is. I've included the complete recipe for printing if you go to upr.org and search for Bread and Butter. It starts out as a fairly basic cookie base to which you add anise seed and anise extract. The brandy gives the dough a high note sweetness and complexity, almost like a dried fruit, so don't leave it out if at all possible. The almonds you add whole, which is a bit unusual, but it works because of the way you bake and slice the dough. You first create long French bread-shaped logs that are baked just until the dough is set. Then you slice the cookies into long, thin wedges that you return to the oven until they are golden brown and crisp. I suggest serving these cookies with a good quality hot chocolate, coffee, or a fruit or mocha flavored ice cream. The flavor combination is unusual enough to be interesting, even with the competition, and the cookies are crisp enough to hold up even under strenuous dunking. Because of their nature, twice-baked cookies can last up to a month when well-sealed. But they are so good, I doubt that they'll last long beyond five pipers piping at your house. This is Lael Gilbert for Bread and Butter.